Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. I'm Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday night, so we are talking about practical Christianity. And we're looking at different elements that have contributed to our beliefs. And we're kind of stepping back and looking at things objectively. We want to see if what we are believing, does it stand up to the light of day? Does it stand up to objectivity? Does it stand up to, shall we say, reality? Can we test it? Can we say, okay, I know this is true because I've experienced it. I know this is true because I can see it in my own life. As we do that, as we are objective about our what we believe, we are objective about our relationship with God. Because God is a real person, we can have a real relationship with Him. This is really, on so many different levels, this is one of the distinguishing characteristics of Christianity, that our God is alive. He's a real being. He exists to relate to us and to reveal Himself to us. Now, I know I repeat a lot of this over and over again. And the reason being is that we are trying to overcome so much of our own beliefs and temperaments and our own negative, most of the time negative, approach to life in general. It's going to take a while and effort to accept the reality of who God is. We have such an opportunity to know Him, and He's making it as easy as is good for us to know Him. And so that's what we want our focus to be. Not on the things that are very often more important to controlling issues and power issues, like in general, what are the big things that we hear a lot about in church? Those things that we can try to get everybody on agreement in, and then it sort of binds you to that belief. In other words, say if whatever your particular group is centered around, if someone comes up and questions that and says, well, you know, can you prove that? Now, regardless of what it is and whether you can prove it or not, we take that very often very personal. And that's not, in many cases, acceptable. It's to question what everyone else has believed and accepted. This is why it is so essential that we go beyond what we're taught and what we've learned and even what we believe to reliance on God, to the creator of the universe, the revealer, the creator of truth. He is truth. And if we cannot distinguish his voice and recognize it and get our life from it, we are cutting ourselves off from being able to receive the eternal life that he has made available to us through our spirit. We're saying, God, you can only speak to me the way I choose. And he will, in many cases, he will not speak to us until that is dealt with. And in each person, that could be pride, it could be rebellion, it could be, you know, fear, could be a variety of things that's causing us to say that. But so many of us are ready to accept whatever God wants to give us. And so I encourage you, again, why I keep on repeating this is because we need to hear it. We need to be encouraged that God is revealing himself to us on his terms. And in a lot of ways, whether we're aware of it or not. And we again recognize that as that happens, we are going to come under attack from our enemies and also perhaps from our friends, those we've been fellowshipping with, hanging out with. Once we start seeing things different, believing a little bit more acceptingly from what we may not even understand, that may not make us as welcome in our old cliques, in our old group of friends. And we'll have to decide. And I guess maybe a little warning would be in order here. That once you have tasted and experienced the presence of God in this manner, where he reveals himself to you directly, it is probable that you will be spoiled for any other way of knowing him. So as you taste and see that the Lord is good, you will no longer hunger and thirst for the old way of doing things. Because you will have been satisfied by experiencing him and his eternal life that he has for you. So, as we look at time and how it governs, that we can think of time as a boundary that God has set up, where, or even a rule, that, you know, during this time, this quarter of the game, these are the rules that are going to be in play. And you have to know what the rules are in order to follow them. So we've been looking at what kinds of rules he has made in the past, just so we can start to see, get some ideas about how he is speaking to us today. Now, we've been talking about time for quite some time now, and we'll talk about it for a few more weeks. But I do want to encourage you, if you've got any questions regarding time, how it affects maybe something you're going through now, feel free to give me a call if you want to talk about it on air. Otherwise, feel free to email me. And if you want to drop me a phone call, it's 718-664-6988, and we can talk about it on air. Otherwise, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. And all this information is, of course, on the Blog Talk Radio profile page. But last week, we were talking about how we're in an overlap age. And looking at and wondering at that, where the overlap of grace and law, where the law, as far as the supernatural and the natural realms are concerned, the law is still in effect. But because we are now spirit beings, we are not below the law. We are now above the law. So we're not under the law. We're over it. But that's because we're spirit beings. While we're here on this earth, we are coexisting with a bunch of dead spirit beings. All these other humans that have not been enlivened by the Spirit of God are dead. And so they only exist under the law. But because we are now spirit beings, we are above the law. It's been fulfilled. We live according to our new nature. And we'll get into that in a little bit, if not this week, next week, about what effect time has had on the law and grace and the spiritual realm. But so what's next? As far as time is concerned, as far as the boundaries that we are living by, what's a good term for what may be coming next? And again, you know, this is all kind of conjecture. It's theoretical. We think we know what's coming, and we think we know what's past. And yet when we look at how much is actually concrete, to draw the conclusions that so many of us have a tendency to draw, I think we're being a little presumptuous. And that's another area where we just have to let it go, that if we can't fill in all the blanks, that's okay. Because we're not going to put our trust in the questionnaire anyway. Our faith, our confidence, our trust is not in knowing all the stories in the scriptures. It's not in, did Noah's flood really happen? I was watching a special on the Shroud of Turin last night. And they were coming up with all the different theories about how it could have been created. And how some people are emphatic that it must be either proven or disproven. We must draw a conclusion one way or the other. And I was just thinking for a minute how relieved I was that as far as my relationship with God was concerned, I didn't care. I was curious, and I'm fascinated by the options that were presented were really interesting. But I didn't really care. It didn't really affect my relationship with God. I'm convinced God is who he says he is because I've experienced him for myself. I know him, and he knows me. And you know, to even try to explain that to someone who has not experienced who he is, a relationship with him. It's impossible. It's like trying to explain your favorite ice cream. You know, explain, you know, butter pecan ice cream to someone who's never had ice cream. But I know. And that results in freedom. It helps me to look at then what is important. What am I spending my time on? It's that old conundrum. Are we working hard or working smart? There are so many Christians working on busy work, just keeping themselves busy until they die or whatever comes next happens. And again, I'll repeat it again, if we wait until the next thing for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we've waited too long. Shouldn't we find out now how we're doing? And isn't God himself the best one to tell us? So what is the next age? Now, I'm just going to throw out a title, and again, it's the after the age of grace. And I think because of grace being the ushering in of the fulfillment of where we can enter into the spirit realm and take authority and responsibility over time, any subsequent ages that occur on this earth do not affect us. Okay, let me repeat that. This is really important. As a spirit being, you are not, just as you are not under the law, you are not under time. Your physical body is, but your spiritual being isn't. And because you have a soul, your soul is also over time. So the only part of you that's affected by time is your natural body. But this is one of the ways God reveals himself to us, is according to what is going on in this earth. And our body is connected to what's going on in this earth. So, as spirit beings, whatever happens next, in the next age, or in ages to come here on this earth, do not affect our relationship with God. Now, if you are an unbeliever, it does. Because it governs how God communicates with us. Or with them. But for us, it does not have an effect. Other than, this is another opportunity for us to learn to rule and reign as sons of God in this earth. So whatever it is that's coming next, and after that, and after that, and after that, it is merely opportunities for us to learn how to rule and reign as overcomers. So there's never anything for us to be concerned about. It's all about training. And it's all about bringing us to be able to receive more and more of what God wants to give. And that's in our soul and our body, because in our spirit, you've already received it all. So what's next? Let's just call it the evil reign. The last age was law, then grace came in. But grace is not real, is an age, but it's a superseding age. Okay, grace is the age where spirituality truly entered into this earth, so that those of us who are spiritual are now above all ages. So the age of grace actually supersedes and overwhelms all ages. And that happened 2,000 years ago. So grace now is a like an umbrella and covers all previous ages and all ages to come. Because grace enables us to live above time and exist and be. So think on some of these things. It's kind of fun just to get an idea about how little we really think, you know, about what we're taught. And just ask the Lord if there's anything that would apply to you, or if he wants to reveal any of his purpose to you regarding time, regarding the time he has for you, or what area of time he might want you to exercise authority or and responsibility over. So if we're talking about the evil reign, now when I say evil and probably reigning, you probably think certain things come to your mind. And I'm sure there's enough speculations regarding what the next age will look like. You know, whole Bible versions and an entire denominations have been built around certain interpretations of what the next age is purported is purported to be. Fictionalized book series and movies have attempted to render and present fully what God has only revealed to the minutest degree. Much of what we believe today about the nature of hell and heaven and angels and devils was derived from literature written in previous centuries. Now, one of those, maybe you read it in high school or college or whatever, is Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy, The Inferno, Paradise, and Purgatory, written in the early 1300s. Another big resource that we have derived our, in Christian circles, our idea about what hell and heaven is, came from a book of the Bible that didn't make it into the final cut. Okay, so we can conclude to at least some degree that the life God has made available to us today will be tested in one way or another here on this earth. I think sometimes we just have this overwhelming idea that because we know God, everything will be peace and light and sweet, and we'll all go our way. And if we just get on the right program, it will always be safe and warm, and we will always be loved, and there will always be a solution to every problem. And God never promised that. That would certainly not bring us to the place where we are depending on him. We wouldn't need him. If we didn't need him, we wouldn't need him. And we would never need to learn how to hear his voice, how to receive his life, how to know him. So we must be overcoming the reign of evil in our own lives before we can overcome it in the earth. Otherwise, God could simply just, you know, save us. He could just give us his life, make us his sons, and then take us to be with him. Why would we need to stay here? This is his training ground. And he created evil for the day of evil so that we could overcome it. You know, as atrocious as some of the things that our enemies do, when we can be objective about it and not get angry, you know, emotionally upset or so focused on overcoming our enemies that we forget who we are and our focus on God, we can just be about his business, recognizing that the enemy was put here for us to conquer. Jesus said, "The devil has come to me to tempt me," but he couldn't, because there is no room for him. There is no opportunity for him. There are no lies where he can come in and twist what I believe, because he knew his Father. That's what we're looking for. To be able to say, the enemy's here. He's, you know, I fight him every day, but I know all his tactics. So he's not a threat. The Lord, I know, has trained me and is training me. So, yeah, he'll be here today, he'll be here tomorrow, as well as the flesh, and as well as this world system. These are all enemies that I need to overcome, either by depending on God or by learning to do it, to depend on him for the overcoming the flesh, or by exercising the authority that I've already been given. It's just a day-by-day thing. We're not going to be judged on how well we do these things. We've already been judged. This is it. The judgment day is over. It was over 2,000 years ago. It says, "You are my son. Act like it." You know, you want to take over the family business? He's got a kingdom that needs to be run, that needs to be governed. That kingdom is now. The kingdom is not to be built. It is to be entered. And you did enter it. It may not be what you were expecting, but if you are a spirit being, you have entered his kingdom. So, next week we will be getting more into the time and the realms of reality and how God is always speaking to us through the different ages. So if you've got any questions or how it applies to you, I encourage you to drop off those questions and visit the blog at wecanprepare.org. Sign up if you want to be on that list to be notified either of what's going on the radio and also any articles that we've got being published will go up on the blog. Again, that's wecanprepare.org. And there's a little sign-up sheet where you can put in your email and you'll get a confirmation and just click on that link to respond and you'll be signed up. And you can unsubscribe at any time and that list doesn't go to anyone else. So now you're also welcome to register on the blog if you want to comment, post questions. You do have to register, so we're trying to keep the spam down, so I do ask that you put a real registration in there and everything. We'll keep that fairly monitored. But thanks for tuning in, and have a great evening. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a good night.